Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Okay, we midway through the month of February already, Coach. 2021.
Yep, we are.
But, you know, it feels different, right? I'm telling you, it feels different just from a political standpoint as to how the Biden administration is addressing some of these pressing issues that, as a country, we got to put our hands on it around the vaccination.
Yes.
Trying to get these schools open back up. Trying to deal with the stimulus issue, and unfortunately, the past administration just had to turn a deaf ear to all these things that I think are important not only to the American public but to the American economy.
Hey, man, I look at it like this, Tony. You know, some people, you know, they get in situations like when you first get into college, you get on campus, and they try to offer you all them credit cards.
Right.
And then you don't know nothing about finance or anything, and you got people advising you that just party people and people that just throwing away money.
Yeah.
It was like a free fall for four years. That's what it started to look like to me. Like somebody said, let's run this bill up and let's get up out of here.
That's it, man. Not realizing what the repercussions and the consequences are for those actions, right? Because at some point in time, that bill gonna come due. Just like they say, the chickens have come home to roost.
Man, this is a terrible situation. At first, I was like, okay, what we got going on? Well, we got something that's going on that's not right at all.
No, it's not, man. You know, and it's the historical event of having a president being impeached
twice.
You know, never been done before. But rightfully so. And you know, the rhetoric that is being spewed by some of those really hardline Republicans, I got to come to be questioned about their integrity when these films, these clips that had never been seen in public about how these folks went in and wrecked the Capitol building.
Yes, sir.
It's like, as an elected official, you cannot defend their actions. You cannot say what took place was not perpetrated by the president in a speech that he gave prior to that.
Straight up unconstitutional.
You know, and I truly believe for those people that think that the Republican Party is more important than the American public and the Constitution of this country are committing political suicide. Because most people are going to come to the grips that regardless of the differences that we may have over politics, we handle those in a diplomatic way. We don't resort to force, intimidation, and threats to get our message across. This is not a third world country. And again, if they don't come to grips with that, they are going to commit political suicide.
I mean, look at the situation. We're talking about somebody, but not once, and then they bragged about the first time, like, yeah, I got acquitted. You know what it is.
Right.
And then it happens again. It reminds me of, and I'm going to say this person's name. I'm not trying to compare race or anything, but I'm just trying to compare situations. R. Kelly, when he had that song with Jay-Z, Not Guilty.
Right.
And he was guilty the first time, got off.
Right.
Then look what happened. Years later, he gets caught again.
Caught up with him.
For the same thing.
Yeah. You know, and another comparison could be the mobster, John Gotti.
That's right.
Who was commonly referred to as the Teflon Don.
Yep.
Which we could also say about him, because everything that he did never stuck. But ultimately, it all caught up with him.
And that's what happened. When you perpetuate a lie in your life,
yes,
it's going to eventually, you can't just keep on telling the same lie. You got to add to the lie.
No, that is so detrimental, man. And over in Burma, right, the military basically overthrew the government, and it's the same script. The president basically said that the election was stolen, it was corrupt, and he used the military basically to overthrow the government.
Yep.
You know, and this guy is taking scripts out of these third world countries, man, which we can't have.
Yep. And he was protected by the whole time being the president. So it was like it gave him, I wouldn't say some type of clemency, but like, hey,
immunity.
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good. Get away with it.
Yeah, I'm the president. I'm the president. So then now he's a citizen.
Yep. He's a citizen.
So how do you flip that and try to get away with that? What could you do?
No, but you know, he set this thing up months ago. I was watching some clips on MSNBC, and he was talking about it was virtually impossible for him to lose the election unless it was fraud, corruption, and he set the tone over a year ago before the elections.
For the craziness.
Yeah, and they even pressed him about, will you have a peaceful transition? And he would never, ever, you know, admit to the fact that if I do lose the election, I will, you know, honor the will of the people and for the good of the people have a peaceful transition of power. Wouldn't do it, man. And he got those crazies out there thinking that this thing was rigged. The Supreme Court, right?
Right.
Highest office in the land, people that he has actually put on the Supreme Court, did the review and said, no, all these elections were fair and accurate. But yet, he didn't want to believe that.
Man.
So, you know, again, it's just a breath of fresh air to watch Dr. Fauci get back on the podium, talk with no restraints, given full authority to make decisions about how we're supposed to go forward to get out of this pandemic.
Letting everybody do their job right now.
Yeah, and giving them the help and assistance that they need, man.
Yep. So, like, I got my vaccination this week.
Same here.
My first one.
Yep.
My arm sore. I feel.
Yours is?
Yeah, my left arm.
Mine was not sore, Coach.
Yeah.
Nope, I don't know why. It was really a non-event. You know, and I'm pretty sure our listening audience share the same concern as we did around the vaccination, right? Is this something that we really should do? What are the consequences of doing it? What are the consequences of not doing it? And came to the conclusion that, you know, it's probably best to do it than not to do it.
Yeah. I thought, okay, I work in the school system. They gave me the option, the school system is. We're
yep.
going as a staff. We went over there as a staff, as a district. And my greatest concern is the kids I'm going to be in front of. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm not going to be in front of them at a full capacity, but still, I can have the mindset to say, hey, I did my part in yes. going in the right direction.
I truly believe it. Yeah, it wasn't an overnight decision. You know, I thought about it.
I contemplated it, yes.
Yeah, contemplated it for a number of days. And just said, okay, I am going to do it because I think it's the right thing to do and it's the best thing to do for me. It's an individual decision, right? We can't tell you to do it, but I don't think you should just not give it some real consideration and thought and research before you just say no.
Yeah, I'm like, to follow that up, I think my brother just lost a sister-in-law. She was about 62. They having her funeral today. I lost an aunt last week. They having her funeral tomorrow in Vicksburg. So it's like Vicksburg, Mississippi. So I'm like, I lost several people to COVID. So it's like when you look at it, like, you going to get the shot, Chauncey? You going to get the shot? I'm like, well, look, I know some people that died because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, because they never had the opportunity, right?
Right.
To get a vaccination. And, you know, I kind of went back to when we had to all get the polio vaccination, right, back in school.
We got it at school.
You had to have it, right? You couldn't come to school unless you had that mark on your shoulder to show that you had been vaccinated for the polio virus. And, you know, again, we got to trust science. Yep. We know there's some things in the past that went down with black folks, Tuskegee Institute, and you know, you got to play that through. You got to play that through your mind. But you also got to look at where we're at today from a medical standpoint and just, you know, pray.
That's right.
And say, okay, God gave us the mind to use wisdom. And I'm going to do what I think is best for me and my family. But again, like I said earlier, it does boil down to an individual decision as to get the vaccine or not.
There it is. There it is. We spoke on two dark subjects.
Yes.
But we're talking about money. We're talking about getting our country in a pivot and trying to get us in the right space. But speaking of pivots, the kids are back playing basketball.
Basketball, yeah.
Yep, they're back. In an abbreviated season, and I think we talked about this, how about 3 or 4 games in a week?
Yes.
And 6 weeks. But I could tell you like this, I wish I could be in high school again because that means practice is limited.
Yeah.
Coach got to go whatever game plan that's got to happen. He can't run you to death if you lose or if you do the wrong thing in the game. He got to have a conversation with you because you got a game tomorrow.
That's right. Yeah. You know, Muskegon played last night.
That's right.
Played your Union. They play Benton Harbor tonight.
Yeah.
The girls play Detroit Edison tomorrow night.
Man.
So it's going to be a lot of good basketball coming up.
Because I know Edison is almost like an AAU team.
Yeah.
And they got a girl that's signed with Michigan State that's possibly going to be Miss Basketball for Edison.
Now, that was the same girl that came last year?
Yep.
She was good.
The guard.
Yeah, she was good.
Yep. The little light-skinned guard, tough.
Yeah.
Tough.
Yep. And we, you know, our girls played well. Now, they was in that game right to the end.
Every year.
Also at the end, man.
Yeah. And I appreciate Edison. You know, like, they got all these. They are an academy, so they able to go grab. And what they do is one of the coaches is the AAU team coach.
Okay.
So they get kids from around the state, but then their core kids come from that school. So then they match them on that team, in a high school team, but then they put them with other kids in the summertime, and they play on a crossover, a nationally sponsored Nike team during the summer. So that's how they got that. And they Class C, so they always win the state championship.
Okay, then. Yeah, so they have somewhat of a small number of students.
Yep, but I'm not knocking them because, it's a minority-owned organization.
Because
you think about it, when you talk about these private schools that's in our community, come on now.
Yeah, there aren't. There are not none.
Not no more. Because they dominated for so many years because they plucked kids, right?
Yeah.
But then they were PWIs, predominantly white institutions, using our kids as farmhands. Okay. So now it's a transition where you got an Edison Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's minority owned, and they sending kids to the Mississippi States, Michigan States, Michigan, Duke.
Okay.
And it's a minority owned business operated that's sponsored by Nike. So I'm not knocking that at all because I've seen it happen on the other side.
No, because the end result, right, like you just said, these kids are getting an opportunity for a higher education.
For free.
For free.
We got 2 girls from Muskegon that played for that organization on crossover, Liza Winston and Mondrika Cook. So
you see where they're at.
Drika got her degree. So there it goes.
Okay.
In that power. So then, like you say, the boys playing Benton Harbor, and both teams are young.
Yeah. Yeah, the girls.
But, so the girls and then the boys is a young team from Muskegon and Benton Harbor.
Okay.
So Benton Harbor lost a lot of their players, but, you know, it's still the Harbor.
Okay, they're going to bring it.
Like, it's still Muskegon basketball. So
they're going to bring it. Who was the kid that was at Harbor last year that was up for Mr. Basketball?
I know what school he is. He's at Butler.
Oh, he went to Butler.
Yep.
Okay, that's where the Boston Celtics coach
cut
his teeth at.
Yep, that's where he came. And I've had a conversation with Brad Stevens.
Brad Stevens, there you go.
I've met him. Actually, they recruited a player from my alma mater, Muskegon Heights, Kelsey Wilson. And he got recruited by them off of summer camp at the University of Detroit. They didn't even come see him during the regular season.
Okay.
And they signed him, and Brad Stevenson was a student manager at the time. And he was a part of that staff. And he remembers that player. But Butler's a good school. And they got a brother coaching that. So what's that boy? They start with an S. Is it Stucky or Spud or something? But he's a dynamic player from Benton Harbor. He's a straight athletic, good kid, honor roll student. Because I know the mayor, Muhammad, used to go to DePaul, and he used to coach the basketball team at Benton Harbor. And they always had a great relationship with our community. So good people all the way around.
Man, for years, man.
Man, I love them people, man.
Seeing Heights, Benton Harbor show up.
Yeah.
You know, because they was in the old LMAC back in the day. And there was some great battles, you know, and good rivalry. So they're going to bring a good game tonight. It's going to be interesting. And you know, again, fan participation within the stadium is limited.
Two
250
tickets.
250 max. Two tickets per kid. And I don't know what the other schools are doing, but Muskegon are always streaming either home games for boys or girls. So
that's right.
check the internet, and you can always watch games from the comfort of your home if you enjoy watching high school basketball, boys and girls.
Yeah, that's what I do. So I'm at the crib watching it, but that's the sports thing. It's tax season, February 12th.
Today started the first day that you could submit your tax returns.
That's right. So what I wanted to get into is just talking about that FAFSA that's coming out.
Okay.
So they're getting ready to make some changes to FAFSA. And I can tell you, growing up, for me, that was a thing that my freshman year, I ain't do my FAFSA. I just went to school.
That form was intimidating, man. Yeah.
So then I had to have my sister, Emma Williams, thank you. She did my FAFSA my sophomore year. And then that's when the work study and the other money came in. But it was possibly like 180 questions, Tony.
Man, that thing, I think I probably did them 3 times just because when you submit them, if there's any missing information, they reject them, they send them back. And it was just a headache, man.
Yep, just a headache. So listen to the changes. So it says the financial and form gets a makeover, right? So it says free application for federal student aid or FAFSA. The form is used to determine how much financial aid a student will receive from the federal and state governments, colleges, and universities. The changes will also expand eligibility for Pell Grants and subsidized student loans for low-income students. Starting with the FAFSA available, filing in October 2022.
Okay, so 22. We got a year.
Yep.
Well, a little more than a year and a half.
So here's the change. It said the number of questions will be reduced from 108 to 36 questions, and they'll be better aligned with information on your federal tax returns. That means families will be able to use the IRS data retrieval tool to answer more questions, which could save time and money. So what it does, Tony, now if anybody paying their student loan debt back, you know how that goes when you have to verify your income.
Yep.
It's a tool there that you can. It says IRS, and then they'll pull your tax records with your password and username, your PIN, and they'll access that information, and they'll base your student loan payment off that income.
Right, because you submitted that to the IRS. So
if you file taxes. Yeah, so, so people in our community, I see this a lot of times happen. Even when kids get scholarships, they don't file their taxes. They're like, they ain't getting my name. I ain't put my Social Security number out there. What they're doing is they're putting their children in a detrimental situation where they have a full scholarship, but a lot of times these full scholarships are covered because they know they come from low-income families, especially Division II colleges. They use that Pell Grant and that work study and other sources, and they make the award give fit.
So yeah, because there's just so much money that they give as far as a scholarship.
Yeah.
And then there's a residual balance left out there, like you say, that you have to go after in order to complete the process to make it where it's affordable to attend.
Yep, so especially Division II. You're definitely right. So when you look at it, if you're at a Division I level and they say full ride, those universities ready to write that. They can write that check that one time. But they also have an equation where if you come in, you got work study, you got the Pell Grant, you can get the Perkins loan, and the ones that you don't have to pay back if you're going into government work, you got more money in your pocket, which can be upwards of $8,500 a year if you're at Division I on a full ride.
Yep.
So now you come off $5,000 a semester, you got back in your pocket. So that's $15,000 that you got in your pocket with a work study job where it can sustain you
at a
D1 level. Yeah,
in Division III, basically, you know, the same thing where a lot of those schools don't offer scholarships. But what they do is they'll set you up, like you say, through the FAFSA system to make sure that you get the amount of money that you need to attend the university.
Yep. So that's going on, and it's talking about, it says the Corona relief bill extends a tax break that permits employers to contribute $5,000 to tax free to help pay off employee student loans. So when you're getting that FAFSA, you see that award subsidized. If you got to get a loan, please get subsidized. Subsidized, unsubsidized, and make sure it's a federal loan. Do not go for private money.
No,
any kids in the community, because I get them when they call me, Mr. Williams, I got my award letter. What do I get? I'm like, well, can you pay for it on your own? Are you on a full ride? No, I got to get this award letter. So my mama got this, and this. I say, don't do the Parent Plus unless you got to do it, and because your mama got to pay that back. Mm-hmm. But you got to be able to get some money if you're going to be forced to borrow. Don't overextend yourself. Figure out if you can get a roommate after your first year and figure out how you can cut a lot of costs if you can get work study in that so you don't have to go into private money.
Right.
And people don't realize, like a lot of people walking around here, education heavy, but also debt heavy.
Yep.
And we want to figure out how to alleviate that by understanding that your FAFSA is important and knowing your award letter, breaking that down.
Yeah, because they don't, you know, the privates don't work as well as far as the payment plans as the federal government.
No, they don't.
Okay, there's more rigid rules that they follow versus the federal government. They're a little more lenient as far as helping you repay that debt.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you a horror story that a lot of times it happens to kids from our community or just people from our demographic. Schools like the private universities, right? And I'm not gonna name them because I know one of them. I seen an article the other day. Albion is struggling because they're trying to recruit out of minority areas, but then with the pandemic, mm-hmm. certain things happen. Like they try to recruit out of Chicago, bring students in, but now they can't live on campus. So now you lose that money that they was gonna get in those subsidized loans or little grants because they don't live on campus no more.
Like, right. You got,
I'm remote now, so I don't need that money for room and board. Mm-hmm. So now that because like a scholarship is one thing, but a lot of times we see our students in this space when it comes to getting money. You got it, and we see it like, oh, he got a $36,000 scholarship, right? Now, entailing that you don't understand that what the $36 is over 4 years, not repeating. You got to make sure you read the fine print. You'll walk on campus thinking you got $36,000 per year. No, you got $36,000 for 4 years, and all it does is cover tuition. So we talking about books, room and board, food, matriculation fees, yeah. health care. They want you to have health insurance on campus. You got to have some Medicaid, something. You just can't be on there just walking as a liability. So so these things are the equation that a lot of families just don't be excited about the scholarship. Get the fine details. Sit down with your accountant. Sit down with your athletic director and your counselors and say, what is this scholarship really saying? Mm-hmm. Don't get excited about the money. Oh, he going to a private school. They're giving him $100,000. Well, in order to go to that private school, it costs $240,000.
Total, yeah.
$40,000 a year.
4 years.
Yep, 4 years. Four or five. So you got to always figure out what's your equation, what's your Pell Grant, do you have to get a loan? It's serious information. But that goes into our topic today. We got 21, we got 2020, and we got the grown men, 21, but we actually 21 in the year 2020 because we got to figure out. So we got a tax situation right now.
Yes.
Yes, and we got to figure out how to alleviate their taxes. So I got some notes on dealing with the taxes, and I know you're pretty good when it comes to an accounting and making sure people are right in this right space where they won't get penalized when it comes to their money. So the article today says you can still save money on your taxes because the tax code is there for you, but it's talking about what refunds are available and what things to do to avoid the pitfalls of being in a certain space when it comes to money.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the topics was, I'm going to share with you, tips for non-itemizers. So we still got the what? The 2017, they brought out the standardized deduction.
Right, increase that. So trying to eliminate the amount of people that have to itemize so they give you a higher standard deduction.
Yep. So then that was, so now it's 2020, it's $12,000 for singles and $24,800 for married couples. So you automatically got a deduction of $12,400 from 2020. Mm-hmm. So if you got anything higher than that, then
you can itemize, right?
Yep.
When we say itemize, that's basically the interest off your home mortgage, your real estate taxes, things of that nature, your state taxes. That's the things that you would itemize.
So here's one right here. It says the CARES Act, the economic stimulus bill enacted in early 2020, includes a provision that allows non-itemizers to deduct $300 in cash contributions to charity. Because the tax break is an above-the-line deduction, it will reduce your adjusted gross income and your sales tax income. Now, we're not talking about, oh, I donated some stuff to the Goodwill. That's there. We're talking about just straight up, if you gave somebody some money or some cash,
mm-hmm.
GoFundMe something for a situation, you can count that $300 as yours.
Yeah, that's even tithing offerings.
That's right.
It's still a cash. I mean, it's a nonprofit, and it's still a cash exchange, so you can count that as well.
So then when your allotment is a certain amount, you're like, well, I gave this much. I gave thousands and tithes and offerings, but so now you got another $300 that you can say, hey, if I max this out, I got this $300 right here too then. You can do that?
Yep.
Okay.
That's it.
All right, so it gives you a little bit of leeway. All right. So it says, in order to claim this deduction, you need to have a cash contribution qualified by charity by December 31st. So non-cash contributions like Goodwill, clothes, they are not eligible in that $300. They're not cash. And a lot of times people get in trouble for that.
Yeah. Yeah, they allow you a certain amount to deduct for things that you have given, but you gotta put you gotta go over the threshold.
A market value or something like that. Like whatever.
Fair market value for the clothes, you know, they got a depreciation. You give TVs, you give furniture. You know, some people give away cars, right?
That's
donate
right.
the cars
yep.
and boats or whatever.
Waddles and places like that. Yep.
Yeah.
the car not working, it's parked in the yard, you might as well get a couple thousand for it for scrapping.
Donate it to them, and then you get to to take that value of the car and write it off as a donation.
All right, listen to this one, the child tax credit. So a new baby brings sleepless nights, unbounded joy, and a $2,000 tax credit. So the tax credit reduces the tax bill dollar for dollar. There's no limit to how many kids you can claim on a return as long as they qualify. But the credit begins to disappear if income rises above $400,000.
Okay.
And in joint returns and above $200,000 in single and head of household. That's love. So that's how people be getting in trouble when they try to claim them extra kids.
Right. The qualifier is if they're biologically your kids, or if you have adopted those kids through the legal system, then you get to claim them. But if they're your cousin kids and they happen to stay with you for a period of time, that might be a red flag.
And some people have done that, and they've had tax bills come back where that $2,000 they got in cash, they talking about, hey, you have to pay $3,500 now because you got a penalty.
Yeah. First thing you got to remember is a lot of times somebody might be getting some state assistance, right?
That's right.
And the qualifier is the number of kids, right? And they may not be staying in the same household. Again, they might be living with an aunt, uncle, grandparent. And if they try to claim them,
then that's a double claim.
That's a problem.
Red flag.
Like you said.
So, yeah, that's the qualifier that you got to be careful about.
All right, so look at this one, though. Child care credit. If you pay for child care and your children are younger than 13, you're eligible for a credit of 20% to 35% for up to $3,000 in expenses for one child, or $6,000 for two or more. Because daycare, you're talking about $300 a week.
Man. Come on.
$300 a week for one kid.
Yeah, yeah. Let's do the math on it. 5 days a week, right? And you're paying, $50 a day. I don't know what it is, but at five times 50, $250 a week, you know. Maybe 25 a day. Don't know the math. But daycare is a huge issue in this country because even through the pandemic and the schools being closed, a lot of women have basically had to stop working in order to make sure that they're, that they take care of the kids or they're at home all day.
That's right. You're right. So then the next one is what? The college credits. So many colleges and universities have switched to online learning, right? Immersive learning. So look at the lick the college hitting. They finally had to go to court for it.
I'm hurt.
They said, okay, we're gonna return your room and board because you moved back home, right?
Yeah.
We kicked you off campus because of the pandemic, but we're gonna still charge you full tuition.
I done did
some hybrid classes, and it's not the same price as in person.
Shouldn't be.
But the university, like we said, like the Albion situation I brought up. They like, what are we going to do? We just can't get them half. We got to pay our staff. What about our budget?
Yeah. Yeah. We're still sending those checks out. Those people are still on payroll.
They benefits are still being paid.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So we're in a tough situation. So a lot of money has been lost when you think about the university college level. Because I remember, and I'll give you this example, being on a campus from September to June. To May, because college, right?
The summer.
Right. So when the summer come, you with all the locals. Everything is easier to get. The hangout spots we go to, it's a little bit, it's no long lines.
Crowded.
Right. So you're really kicking it, and everything is available at your hands, and the nightlife is different in the summertime. But it's fun because you get to all, the athletes, the students that's trying to graduate in 4 years. We all hanging out, but it's not in that pandemonium way. So a lot of money doesn't happen in the summertime. So those colleges look to get their money from September to May so they can sustain over the summer.
Yep.
So then now we done had almost two summers where they done went through the year like it was a summer.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Very, very limited amount of students on campus. But yet the cost to run that campus remains the same for the most part.
Wow. So the Opportunity Tax Credit, which can claim for students who are in their first 4 years of undergraduate, the credit is worth $2,500 for each qualifying student. So now it means that's $2,500 you can claim. Because students do file tax. I've done it.
Oh, yeah.
I've had work study. I was claiming that. Give me a little check, a little light something.
Yep.
I was getting that money, that earned income credit. Because I was like, they was charging me. Because I did have some student loans. So I was on that interest. I was like, look, I got this interest that's matriculated. And I was trying to pay it when I was in school, giving them something.
Yeah. And even if it's a full scholarship, there's still some expenses that a parent has if their child is away at school, man.
Yep, exactly. So I say that's the lifetime learning credit. Well, so meanwhile, it's limited to undergraduate expenses. You or your dependents don't have to be a full-time student to claim it. The credit is worth up to 20% of $10,000 if qualified expenses up to a maximum of $2,000 a year. So that's what that family. You can't claim both this credit and the American Opportunity Credit for the same student in the same year. So you can't be saying like, oh, he working online, but then I need it. You can't get both credits.
Right. Yeah, double dipping.
Yeah, you can't do that. You got to pick one or the other. Because some people are in person, some people are not. So you got to figure out, all right, he on campus doing this and this and this. I'm going to claim this credit. Well, he's not, so I got this opportunity to get this coronavirus bill where I can walk into and get that $2,000.
Mm-hmm. So, every little bit helps, man, when it comes to paying your taxes.
Yep. So then look at the student loan interest deduction. It says you can deduct up to $2,500 in student loan interest for you, your spouse, or a dependent. The deduction phases out if you're married. I mean, if your modified AGI, adjusted gross income, is between $70,000 and $85,000, right? A former student can claim this deduction even if his mom and dad are making the payments. So that helps with a student that's in a situation. But that's that legacy stuff we talk
right.
about.
Mm-hmm.
That's an affluent family where they buying a house, they got the down payment, they gifting their kid 50 G's for their $500,000 home. Or
right.
like, hey, you, I got this gift for you, right?
Uh-huh.
And I've seen it in spaces. I'm not knocking nobody's space, but that's there it is again where somebody can get a benefit where their family is affluent and they get money in their pocket just for that affluent to mm-hmm. walk, you know, hey, I got $2,500 right here. This is mine.
That's it. Yep.
And that's
everybody can't do that.
Everybody
right?
can't do that. And I talk about that in the book. The Millionaire Next Door talks about that. How families are, and you probably read that.
Oh yeah,
I know.
Oh, yeah,
like trying to be reading.
One of my favorite books.
Yeah,
by the way.
Millionaire Next Door show you a lot of little tricks.
Yep. To hold on to make your money.
Yep.
To hold on to your money.
To make sure your kids are in privileged situations. So it's a powerful thing. We're going to continue this, Tony, because it is tax season, the 12th. I was looking. I said, oh, the 12th. It's time for – I got all my 1099s, and I'm looking at things, and I'm looking like, okay, here it is. Let's see what's going to go on during this pandemic, because we got some unemployment stuff to talk about when it comes to taxes.
Oh, yeah, that's still an issue.
Yeah, because then people got some checks. And then people didn't get some checks.
Yep.
So it's some. I got some information I'm going to share on our next show about how if you got overpaid, you probably be good. Because mm-hmm. the IRS are like, well, we're going to count it as a loss. That's what we got. If you got underpaid, it might be a check for you. So we're going to share that with them next week.
Okay.
So that's our show today. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.